From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Simon Marks. It's been another deadly few hours in Gaza, where Palestinian officials say at least 15 people were killed after a UN-run school being used as a shelter was shelled by Israeli forces. Hundreds of Palestinians were in the building at the time. Britain's Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond has joined the effort to persuade Israel and Hamas to agree to a truce. Speaking in Israel, he told reporters he's still hopeful an agreement can be struck.
Discussions are ongoing, and I hope very much that a ceasefire deal is imminent, and that that ceasefire in turn can lead to something more permanent that addresses the underlying causes of this conflict.
Attempts are underway to locate the wreckage of an Algerian airliner that is believed to have crashed on a flight from Burkina Faso to Algiers. The plane with 116 people aboard, 50 of them French, lost contact with air traffic controllers as it flew above the Sahara and crossed into Mali. The last contact with the jet came 50 minutes after takeoff. Chris Parrott, the managing director of aviation security company Avsec Global, says the jet went down in an area with very little radar.
In Europe, we're very used to all of our airspace, or most of our airspace, being covered by radar. It's very easy to track aircraft. However, in North Africa, that's not the case, and pilots rely on what they call procedural navigation, where they make radio calls at various waypoints.
The Australian government has sent 50 police officers to London ahead of a potential mission to eastern Ukraine to secure the Malaysian Airlines crash site. Reporters at the scene say access to the site remains a total free-for-all, with no meaningful exclusion zone in place around the wreckage. Prime Minister Tony Abbott says his government's operation to bring the 28 Australian passengers home is now in full swing.
There has still not been anything like a thorough professional search of the area where the plane came down. And there can't be, while the site is controlled by armed men with a vested interest in the outcome of any investigation.
Lawyers for a double murderer who took nearly 2 hours to be executed in Arizona on Wednesday night are demanding an external review of the process. Joseph Wood gasped and snorted for an hour and 40 minutes after a lethal cocktail of drugs was administered. Among the witnesses, reporter Michael Kiefer of the Arizona Republic.
This is the fifth execution I've witnessed. I've seen them done with thiopental, with pentobarbital. Usually takes about 10 minutes. The person goes to sleep. This was not that.
Arizona's Republican governor, Jan Brewer, has ordered an investigation, but is already claiming publicly that the inmate did not suffer during the execution. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN. A Sudanese woman who was sentenced to death after being accused of renouncing Islam has met the Pope on her first day of freedom in Italy. Maryam Yahia Ibrahim Ishak flew to Rome after spending more than a month sheltering at the U.S. Embassy in the Sudanese capital Khartoum. FSN's Jack Parrock reports from our Europe desk in Brussels.
Maryam Yahia Ibrahim Ishak and her two young children have arrived in Italy after flying on a government plane accompanied by Italian Minister Lapo Pistelli. Mrs. Ibrahim's case caused outrage when she was sentenced to hang for apostasy, renouncing her faith, in Sudan. However, Maryam, who is married to a Christian from South Sudan who has US nationality, insists she'd never been a Muslim, as she was raised by her Christian mother. In Sudan's version of Islamic law, the fact that her father was a Muslim means she is too. Following international outrage at the sentence, a Sudanese appeals court quashed it. Mrs. Ibrahim has flown to Italy with her two young children, including her baby daughter who was born while she was in jail.
New sanctions are expected to be unveiled by the European Union against Russia soon for its alleged role in the crash of Malaysian Airlines Flight 17, but Russia continues to deny responsibility for the disaster, and many officials in Moscow are dismissing the economic impact of Western sanctions, as FSN's Jack Rashbass reports from the Russian capital.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has said that attempts to pressure Russia with sanctions are absolutely unacceptable and counterproductive. One Russian minister has gone so far as to describe the effect of Western sanctions as peanuts, and Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev insists that the EU will remain Russia's major trade partner for a long time. Meanwhile, Russia's former finance minister has warned that isolationist sentiments were damaging the country's economic and political modernization. This comes as Moscow's MICEX index has fallen to the lowest levels in 4 months since the latest round of sanctions.
And that is the latest feature story news. Simon Marks reporting.